Together, we read the gospel for today. Let us stand. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for himself, but are not rich towards God." You may be seated. The hymn before the sermon this morning is a prayer, and so let's together sing it as a prayer. "Lord, lay some soul upon my heart." Let us pray. Of my mouth, and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The rich man said, "I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods." These are thy holy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth. Amen. Like last week, today's text brings out another word from my youth. Last week it was creameries, remember? And this week, it's something every farm had in the old and golden days, a barn. You don't see a lot of barns back there in the Midwest where I come from anymore. They've either been torn down or they're dilapidated and should be torn down. Barns aren't used in the old today like they used to be used. Jesus tells us a story in which he has a rich man saying, I'm paraphrasing my own words, "My barn is too small. I'm going to build myself a bigger one because I've got more stuff than the little one will hold." Back from where I come from, the barns have been replaced by steel bins. We were just there a month ago, which in the olden, golden days we called granaries or granaries, right? Some of you go back to that. So from here on, with that perhaps unnecessary insight, I'll refer to our storage units, where we keep our stuff, not as barns, but as granaries. Today's text challenges us to probe into both the quality and the quantity of our granaries, our storage place, the contents of them, the place where we keep our accumulation of assets, our possessions, ranging from our bank accounts to our toys. Probing the question, what's in your granary? Probing the question, what do you want to have in your granary? Probing the question, what really needs to be in your granary? Hold on to these three questions, okay? You'll hear them again. And to get to them, just like Jesus did, I've got to tell you a story. Like every good story should begin, once upon a time. Once upon a time, the people of Petersburg were predominantly of Norwegian descent. However, today, Petersburg is a wonderful mix of ethnic backgrounds. Yet, there are lingering faint smells of Ole and Lena in the air. The Norwegians among us lay claim to a famous and talented playwright right out of Norway. You know his name? Huh? Henrik Ibsen, whose most memorable plays are Peer Gynt, heard of it? A Doll's House, and Ghosts. As a student at one of our Lutheran colleges back in the Midwest, founded by Norwegians, I took a class entitled The Works of Henrik Ibsen and read those three plays and a whole bunch more. On September 11, 1834, in Telemark, Norway, Henrik Ibsen's brother was born, Nikolai Alexander Ibsen. How would you like to have been Henrik's brother? How would you like to have been Nikolai, the brother of a man who was becoming world known, Norway's counterpart to England's William Shakespeare? It'd be like being Joe DiMaggio's brother, Dom, who was a real good center fielder for the Red Sox, but was overshadowed by the Yankee Hall of Famer, Jolton Joe. Or it'd be like Bernice Baker. You know who she is? Marilyn Monroe's sister. Did you even know that Marilyn Monroe had a sister? Living in the shadow of a sibling who's made it big time, is no piece of cake. As a result, at the age of 29, with his inheritance in hand, reminiscent of one of Jesus' stories, Nikolai immigrated to our country in 1863, at the age of 29. After moving from place to place and having gone through his inheritance, just like the story of the prodigal son, but unlike Jesus' prodigal, because he had no father to go home to. Nikolai had no mother to go home to. At which point in his life, he settled down in the warmth of a small Norwegian community, a conclave of Norwegians, of all places, Esterville, Iowa, my hometown, a community that accepted him as he had become. A man with no family. Now remember, this was Henrik Ibsen's brother, the becoming world-famous playwright. But he was homeless, poor, a pauper, in a small little town, my home. His inheritance spent and misspent, he lived the last years of his life working as a herder of cattle on the Ole Myri farm, a farm not too far from the farm on which I grew up. Nikolai died in 1888 at the age of 54, a poor and depressed man. His obituary read, "Nikolai Ibsen was a math genius." It also read that he could recite long biblical passages. It also read that he could do scientific tricks, whatever that meant. At the time of his death, my home church, founded by Norwegian immigrants in 1860, covered his funeral expenses, giving him a proper funeral in the church of my youth and burying him in our Lutheran cemetery, whose tombstone is just a stone's throw from my mother's and my father's, and which my wife and I visit from time to time. End of story. So what does this story have to do with this text? Have to do with this text of the rich man? Everything. Just everything. When you take time to think deeply about it. When you take time to think about it in relationship to the rich man, or in relationship to you and to me. It is recorded history that at one point in his life, Nikolai's inheritance provided him with an abundance of possessions. His granary was full. his bank account plentiful. And when he had lost all that he had, in his poverty, he found the best possession he'd ever known, a caring community. Mr. and Mrs. Ole Myrie. And like him, an additional handful of neighboring immigrant Norwegian farmers. I believe this text is our call to be like the Myries, to be a caring community. I believe this text is our call to be a caring community. What greater possession could one have than to be a part of a caring community, to be a part of a family that cares, to not only be one of those who cares, but one of those who gives care. Mary Ann and I worship in a Presbyterian church. Mary Ann is a member, and she was elected a deacon, a big thing in the Presbyterian church, an important thing, and has a ministry of caring for her flock of 16 fellow members. With infinite wisdom, 20 years ago this December, I married this deacon. And actuarial tables predict that her remaining days will outnumber mine. But when I go to sleep for the last time on this earth, I will do so peacefully and confidently, knowing that, like Nikolai Ibsen, Mary Ann has a caring community that will take care of her, her church, and the many friends that we have made there. Let's be sure that this place, Petersburg Lutheran, is a place where no one goes forgotten, where no one slips through the cracks, unattended to, uncared for. When anyone, for whatever reason, feels fractured or broken or alone or hurt or depressed, whether those dark days are triggered by something physical or mental or emotional or spiritual, whatever the cause, let every one of us keep our eyes open. And if we see someone not around much, let's do more than just talk about it. Let's be Mary's and Martha's, whom we heard about last week. For there's probably a reason for their season, but a reason for which there is a solution, if we show that we care. Expect your pastor to do it, but don't expect him or her to do it alone. We're in this together. We are a community. We are a family. and we need to behave like a family. Let's be sure we're this kind of a church. Let every one of us keep our ears open. And if we see someone not around much, let's do more than just talk about it. Let's be Mary's and Martha's, whom we heard about last week. For there's probably a reason for their season, but a reason for which there is a solution. If we show that we care. Expect your pastor to do it, but don't expect him or her to do it alone. We're in this together. We are a community. We are a family. And we need to behave like a family. Let's intentionally be this kind of a church. So back to the three questions. What's in your granary? What do you want in your granary? What do you need in your granary? That's for you and me to figure out, not for me to tell you. But if you're looking for guidance, perhaps Nikolai Ibsen can help us. His granary was once full, then empty, then full again, because of Mr. and Mrs. Ole Myhre and a few other Norwegian immigrant farmers. And Nikolai experienced what the cover of your bulletin says. Life, let's read it together. Life, let's start over. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. It's nice to have Ole and his wife as a part of our family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for again asking us to look into what life is all about. It's not about stuff, but it's about you, and it's about our Christian friends, and it's about those other friends that may not totally embrace our religious beliefs, but still are caring, loving people to us. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. In Jesus' name, we pray as we continue to pray in the words of that hymn, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. Let us sing in prayer. Lord, lay some soul upon me. Let us stand.